Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Hey. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzal. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim, Bimheira, in good health, and Yitzhak Hashem, there should be Shalom and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, in the end of yesterday's share, we brought down a case, which we refer to as the Seifa Dereisha, which was that the person who was lending money, the Malva, Ruvain, was lending money to Shimon, the Lova, and there was a collateral was given by Shimon to Ruvain for the loan, and everybody agreed that the value of the loan was 2 shkolim, and the only question was, they disagreed as to what the value of the collateral was. The person who lent the money, Ruvain who lent the money to Shimon, said the collateral was only worth 1 shekel, so it was worth half the amount of the loan. Whereas the Lova, Shimon, the one who borrowed the money, he said, no, the collateral was worth 1.5 shekel, it was worth 3 dinarim. So in other words, the person who lent the money, Ruvain, said, you owe me still 1 shekel. Okay, I lost the shekel, I lost the collateral, so you only have to pay me 1 shekel. Whereas the Lova, Shimon, the one who borrowed the money, said, no, I only owe you a half of a shekel because the collateral that you lost is 1.5. So this is a situation of modeh b'mikzas, and we said that the Lova, the borrower over here in this situation, Shimon, ideally should have to make a shuas d'oraisa modeh b'mikzas. But because of our concern that he will swear that the collateral is worth 1.5, and then Ruvain, the one who has the collateral in his possession, will bring it out and say, aha, you're a liar. You see that it's clearly only worth 1, so this would cause a big problem with Patzel Shimon, and therefore, Gemara said, we flip around the shvua, the modeh b'mikzas shvua that the Lova, Shimon, the borrower, is supposed to make, instead of him swearing that it's worth 1.5, instead we have the Malva go and swear that it's worth only 1, because there's no concern that he'll then pull it out and say, aha, I lied. So obviously that's not a concern. So that's what we learned in yesterday's shiur, that we flip around the shvua. And we discussed this in some detail yesterday in terms of why we flip it around and what are our concerns and what are not our concerns. And that was the first teretz that we gave yesterday. Now we have another teretz, about 10 lines down from the top of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph with the words Abaye Omer. Abaye gives us a different teretz, and he says, the reason why we flip around the Shvua is Gezeira, we're concerned, Shema Yiton V'yomar Lo Achar Shvua Mitzosia. We're concerned that even if Reuven is telling us the truth and he says, I don't have it, I don't have this collateral, so therefore there's no concern a priori that he's going to pull out the collateral and say, aha, you're saying it's worth 1.5, but it's really only worth 1. You're a liar, you're possibly Eidos. So even though we don't suspect that Reuven's going to do this intentionally, you know what? After Shimon swears that it's worth 1.5, and he says, no, it's only worth 1. He's going to look and look and look and look. And after the shvua that he said, I don't have it, he's going to find it. So therefore, Abaye says, that's why we always flip around the shvua. So therefore, that's not a concern that will end up proving Shimon to be a liar when they pull out the collateral, even though he originally swore that he didn't have the collateral. He may go and be matriach himself to go and find it. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ravashi Omar, Zenishba, Vizenishba. He says, no, both of them have to swear. Both the Malva and the Lova. Reuven has to swear, and Shimon has to swear. Now, what do these swear about? Zenishba, She'eno Birshuso. The Malva, Reuven, he has to swear. He doesn't have the collateral in his possession. So, therefore, there's no concern that he'll pull it out. And the other one, Vizet, the Lova, Shimon, Nishba, Kamo Yeshove. He swears how much the item is worth. He's the Moda B'mikzas, so the Shvua is on him, and we leave the Shvua on him. And this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Mi nishba tchila. We're not saying which one of them swears. It's which one of them swears first. Does the Malva swear first that he doesn't have the collateral, and then the Lova swears how much the collateral is worth, or the other way around? So mi nishba tchila. So the Mishnah is telling us Malva nishba tchila. Ruvain, the Malva, he has to swear first that he doesn't have the collateral in his possession, because Shema Yishav is that. Because if the Lova, Shimon, swore first, then the Yotzi Alos Habikada, then Ruvain will pull the Bikada down and say, you're a liar. So therefore, to prevent that from happening, we make the Malva first swear that he doesn't have it. And then the Lova can give his Shua of Moda B'miktas. Now, Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa, Mishmei de Rav Amar, Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa, send the name of Rav, Reisha de Seifa, to Yuftel Rav Huna. The Reisha of the Seifa. This is case 3 from my handout from yesterday. Case number 3 in the handout from yesterday is actually a Tiyufta to Rav Huna. Rav Huna had brought down the din that we have to make this shvua, the Malva has to make sure that he doesn't have the collateral in his possession, or whoever has the collateral has to make sure that he doesn't have it in his possession to prevent that person from then pulling it out after the other person swears what the value of the collateral is, and he says, aha, you're a liar. So the ratio of the safe for case number 3 from yesterday. What was case number 3 from yesterday? So if you still have the sheet from yesterday, for those that don't have it, they can go to Daf Lamed Dalid on YU Torah, and click on the link for the handout, and you'll see. Case number three, the ratio of the Sefer was, well, everybody agreed again that the value of the loan was 2. So Reuven lent 2 shkolim to Shimon. That's no doubt about that. However, the collateral that Shimon gave Reuven is what they're arguing about. The lender, the Reuven, the Malve, he says it was only worth 2. So we're even Steven. And there is no obligation for me to make any sure. I'm not motivated to mix this at all. Even though the Love, the borrower, Shimon says it was worth 4 shkolim, 2 sela. And therefore, he says, you still owe me 2. And that's what they're arguing about. But the Malve, Reuven, is not mowed at all. And we said he doesn't have to make a shul. Mowed the mixas. He's totally potter. Now, here's the question. This is a kasha on Rav Huna, because in the situation, and now we'll see inside the Gemara, the case that I just mentioned, selva visoni alav, it was a sela, 2 shkolim, that the Love, Shimon, agrees that you lent me. No doubt about that. And he says, shtayim hayoshava, but this sela that you gave me, the 2 shkolim, a sela again is 2 shkolim, that you gave me, I gave you collateral that was worth twice as much. Shtayim hayoshava, it was worth 2 sela, 4 shkolim. So if you've lost it, and I only borrowed 2 from you when it was worth 4, you owe me 2. But the Malve, Reuven, says, no, v'alo meloki, that's not true. Ela selvi sicholov in selo yeshava. I lent you the 2 shkolim, and it was worth 2 shkolim, 1 sela, the collateral. And therefore, I owe you nothing. So we had said, potter, in that situation, you are potter. The Malva doesn't have to pay anything to Lovi. He's not mowed to mix us, and therefore, it's a straightforward case of he denies the claim totally, and midiraisi, he has to make no shvua. Now, Rav Huna said that you do have to make a shvua. Rav Huna says he has to make a shvua that he doesn't have the collateral in his possession, because maybe he took an eye to it and he likes it, and he says, okay, I'll just keep it. I'm not causing any gneb over here. I paid for it by giving him the money, but it wasn't for sale. Now, the Emisa, the Rav Huna, if Rav Huna is correct, that he has to make a shvua, so once he has to make this shvua, migu, the mishtaba, malva, sheno, vishus, so once he has to make a shvua that it's not his vishus, so then we have something called the gilgul shvua, lishtaba nami, a gilgul shvua, kamo hayoshava. So in this situation, we should make the malva swear how much it's worth. So he should have to then make an additional shvua. Once you're already swearing, you're allowed to add on additional things to the shvua. So once he has to swear that it's not his possession, we should also make the malva swear how much the collateral is worth. So he should have to swear that it's worth only 2. So if Rav Huna is correct, why don't we say this gilgul shvua? Why did the Mishnah say, no, he's pati, he doesn't have to make any shvua at all? So I'm Ravashi. Ravashi says, I'm Isi L'shmaita Kameh Rav Kana. I asked this question in front of Rav Kana, of Amalei, and Rav Kana answered me, Tehei Bamino. We're dealing over here where the person who borrowed the money, Shimon, trusts Reuven. After all, Reuven lent the money, so he trusts Reuven. So therefore, he's not making him swear. There is no gilgul shvua. He says, I trust you. If you say you don't have the collateral, I trust you, and you don't have to make a shvua that you don't have the collateral. No. The Nemne Lovel Amalva, once he trusts him, so why doesn't he trust him totally? Nami Baha Kama Havi Shava. So why doesn't he believe him when he says that the collateral is only worth 2? If you trust him that he says he doesn't have the collateral, you believe him, so then why not believe him that he says the collateral is worth 2 and not 4? If you trust the guy, so then trust him. So when he says no, because he trusts him, he's an honest person, but he doesn't think that he really knows the value of the collateral, because how much time did he have the collateral in his possession? And he wasn't using the collateral. He wasn't really familiar with it. Lo kim le begade. It's not that he doesn't trust him. He just doesn't think he knows the right answer. Yes, I trust you that you think it was worth 2, but you really don't know. It really was worth 4. And that's why, even though he trusts him, so he doesn't make him make a shvua, that's why there's no gilgul shvua. He doesn't make him make the shvua that Rav Huna said. But we don't believe him to say what the collateral is worth, even though we trust him, because he doesn't know. He simply doesn't know how much collateral is worth. Nuri Gemara says, "V'nemne malve l'love, dikim le'begade." So then, in this situation, the malve should believe the love when the love says that it's worth 4. If they trust each other, so then why don't we say that, well, the love who gave me the collateral says that it was worth 4. So why doesn't the malve trust him and pay him the extra 2? So Gemara says, "Lo manle," because Reuven doesn't trust Shimon. Shimon may trust Reuven, but Reuven doesn't trust Shimon. No, why would we make such a distinction? What we're doing over here is setting up 2 different scenarios, that the Love trusts the Malva, but the Malva doesn't trust the Love. Why would we think that that's the case? So the Gemara says, because it makes sense psychologically. Love, Mikayim de Malva, the Lova, the one who is borrowing the money, says to the Malva, you're a nice guy, you lent me the money. So therefore, Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, your righteousness, so that's why you're rich, and that's why you were in a position to go and lend me the money. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given you the money that you should be able to go lend it to me if you weren't an Elucha person. Okay? However, the Malva says to the person who borrows the money to the Lova, Reuven says to Shimon, Malva, Mekayim Bebelova, he says, no, you have this part of the Pasuk, this Pasuk in Mishlei, that started off Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, the end of the Pasuk says, V'selet Bogdim Yishadeh, but those people that are bad, so they're not going to have anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away their stuff, so you needed money, it must be that you're not trustworthy. Again, it doesn't literally mean that somebody who's rich is automatically trustworthy, and somebody who's poor is not trustworthy, but this is what we apply over here, this idea that the Malva has no reason a priori to trust the Lova, whereas the Lova has a reason a priori to trust the Malva. Okay. Maisa Shoya, how Gavra, the Afkid Kife, Gabe Chavre, the once was a person who gave over his Bikado, he gave over some Kife earrings to his friend to go and watch for them. So Reuven gave over these earrings to Shimon. Amalei, Havli Kife, no. After a while, Reuven says to Shimon, can you give me back my earrings right now? The Bach has the gear, so Kifai, my earrings. Give me back, please, my earrings. So, unfortunately, Shimon says, I lost them. Amalei, lo yadana, hecha ozvinu. I have no idea where they are. I'm sorry. So, they went to go to the Beis Din to Paskin the Shaila. Does he have to give him the money for the earrings or not? So, also, lekami the Rav Nachman, they went to Rav Nachman to adjudicate the case. So, Amalei, Rav Nachman told them, kol lo yadana, if somebody says, I don't know where it is, that's essentially admission of pshia, of negligence. So, pshiusahi, and therefore, even though you're a shomachinim, you chayev pshia, and therefore you have to pay him for the earrings. If you don't have the earrings, you have to pay him the value of the earrings. Zil shalem, go and pay him. However, Shimon says, nothing doing, I'm not paying him. Lo shilem, either he didn't have the money, or for whatever the reason, he says, I'm not paying him. No, so Rav Nachman then goes and says, well, we're going to take away something from you to go and pay for the earrings. You owe him the money for the earrings. So also Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman went as the Beis Din and Agbe Liapadne Mine. So he took his house. Apadne is like his palace. He took his house, his mansion, and he gave it over to Reuven. So the earrings were worth a lot of money. So the earrings were worth $10,000. And he took his house, he took his mansion, his palace, and he gave it to Reuven in exchange for the lost earrings. No, eventually, Lesov Ishtakach Kefe. Eventually, Shimon found the earrings. So, in this situation, what do you do? So, the Akur, now the earrings went up. Instead of being worth 10,000, they're now worth 20,000. So, they went up in price. So, who gets the benefit of this? Does Shimon, who had already paid, so to say, for the earrings by giving over his house, he was forced to give over his house, so Nachman took it from him, does he get to keep the earrings that are now worth 20,000, or does he have to return them to Reuven, albeit he'll get back his house? So, Reb Nachman Pazgan, or Reb Nachman Hadre Kife Lemorayu, yes, Shimon has to give back the earrings that now were 20,000 to Reuven, but he gets his house back. The Hadra Apadna Lemora, and he'll get his house back. In other words, everything goes back to the way it was because we found the earrings. Now, this seems to go against Rav is going to tell us what we just learned. Amar Rava, Hava Yosibna Kameh de Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman watching this case be adjudicated, Upirkin Hamafkin Haba, and they were learning Parakamafkin, they were learning God Gemara, and we learned in our Mishnah, the army late. So Rava said to Rav Nachman, wait a second, we learned Shilein Vilorotso Lishava, if the Shomer Chinam pays because he doesn't want to swear, so then he gets to keep the kefil, he gets to keep the dalav hay. So in this situation, this Shomer Chinam, the one who was given the earrings to hold for safekeeping, so he paid for them. His house paid for them, and now he should be entitled to keep the earrings. That's what I told, Rava says, that's what I told Rav Nachman. But he didn't answer me, logically, he didn't answer me. And Rava then realized there was a good reason that Rav Nachman didn't answer him. In other words, it wasn't a good question. The Shaper Ovad, and it was correct, the Lo Hadderli, that Rav Nachman didn't answer me because I was wrong. Rav himself realized he was wrong. Why? My timer. Because when we said that Shilein v'lo ratzo lishava, that's when you get to keep the kefil, the shomachim gets to keep the kefil, dal v'hei, hasam lo atricha lebedina. He didn't go to a Beis Din. He wasn't forced to go and give him the money. He voluntarily said, here's the money. I'm sorry I wasn't negligent. I'm sorry it got stolen from you. I feel bad for you. Here's the money, and I'll pay for it. In that situation, the person who was mafkid says, okay, thank you for returning my principal, so I'm okay, I'm whole. If there's a kefil, if there's a dal v'hei, you get to keep it. Hasam, lower trich lebedina. That's because in that situation, Reuven wasn't having to take Shimon to the Beis Din. Shimon's a shomachinam, and he voluntarily gave Reuven the money. So therefore, Reuven is machnitim the kefil the dal v'hei. Hacha, in this situation, when the guy gave the earrings, Reuven gave the earrings to Shimon, Shimon said, I'm not paying you. He said, I don't have them, I'm not paying you. So therefore, Hacha, Yitrich Leila Beidina, he forced him to take him to Basin, or Rav Nachman had to go and seize his property. So therefore, in this situation, if the earrings are still present, so then he gets the earrings back. If they find the earrings, he gets the earrings back because he was never marketed to him the earrings. It was not a voluntary thing. Now, the Gemara says, Lameima, the Shavar of Nachman, the Shumahadr. What we can see from here is even though this apadne, this mansion, this palace, was evaluated to be the value of the earrings, and the Beis Din made a Shumah, nevertheless, even though it was a fair transfer of this house to Reuven, he was entitled to it, nevertheless, it can go back. Shumahadr, even though it was fairly evaluated, they didn't make a mistake, it was worth the value of the earrings, nevertheless, if the earrings are found, Reuven can claim them back and he'll give back the palace. In other words, Shuma Hadar. Is that really true? Does Rav Nachman really hold that? So Gemara says, you can't bring us any proof from there because Shiny Hassan, that case was different because the Shuma B'Tos Hava, when they evaluated, they assumed and thought that the earrings were in fact not there. The earrings were stolen, lost, and gone. So it was an evaluation of the apadne of this palace, of this mansion, was betos because the earrings were really present. The kohave kive mekar, because the earrings were really there. So therefore, the whole thing was a mistake from the get-go, and therefore, that's why Rav Nachman Paskin, that he has to give back the earrings, because they were there the whole time. It was just, the whole thing was a mistake to evaluate the house and give him the house. The earrings were present. Now, how do we pass it on this situation, Shumahadr or not? So Amri Nardai, in Nardai, the Chachamim said, Shumahadr, yes. In fact, if a person owes money, can't pay it, and they go and write a shtar adrachta to go and seize the property from him, they go and seize the property, and Reuven gets this property from Shimon. Reuven is telling Shimon money, Shimon can't pay him back, so they seize some of Shimon's property and they give it over to Reuven, and then Shimon wins the lottery. Now Shimon can go pay back that loan. So he has the right to go get back his property. Shumahadr. He can go answer the property back and give the money that he owed. How much can you do this for? Forever? So in Ardoi, they said, Atreza Yachishata. They said for 12-month period of time. For 1 year. 12 months after the property or item was seized from him. So for that 12-month period of time, if he gets money, he can go get it back. Beyond that, no. In Ardoi, they said, that's it. Now it's a final sale. Yomar Amemar. Amemar said, no, I also come from Nardoi. I know I'm in Nardoi. I know I also come from Nardoi. Usvirali, but I differ with my colleagues. I say, Shuma Hadali Ola. I say that, in fact, even 5 years later, 10 years later, if he has the money, he can go back, get back his property that had been taken from him to pay off his loan. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Nardoi or like Amemar's version of the Nardoi? The Hilchasa? Shuma Hadar Liolam. We pass it like a Meimar. That even 5 years later, 10 years later, any time later, if this property had been seized from you, and now you have the money to go and pay off your loan and get your property back, you're allowed to. And this is based upon the pasuk. We had this previously. Mishum Shenemar, V'yosiso Hayosho V'yato. Because you should do the right thing. And therefore, this property really wasn't, Reuven wasn't entitled to it. He was entitled to the loan. You know, he lent $1,000 to Shimon. Shimon couldn't pay it back, so he took this property. Reuven wasn't really entitled to the property. He was entitled to $1,000. And therefore, at any point in time, if Shimon can give him $1,000, Shimon's entitled to get back his property. Yosisa Yoshua Tov, because that's the right thing to do. Now, Mara says, Pshita, it's clear and obvious that Shomule Lebal Chov, that if the Beis Din evaluated this property for the Baal Chov, in other words, Reuven lent Shimon money, Shimon can't pay it back, so they evaluated the property of Shimon. V'azaliyu v'shomu Lebal Chov Didei. And they gave this property to Reuven, who then promptly turned it around and paid off a debt that he owed to Levi. So now, Reuven got this property from Shimon, and he gave this property over to Levi to pay off his debt. He didn't have the cash, and he gave this property to Levi to pay off the debt. So it's clear and obvious, it's partial, lo odiv at migavro di osis minei. So Levi can't have more strength than Reuven. And if Reuven would have had to have given back this property, so then certainly Levi has to go give back the property to Shimon, if in fact Shimon can pay off the debt. So that's clear and obvious, because Reuven would have to give it back, and at most, Levi comes just in place of Reuven. So if Reuven has to give it back, certainly Levi has to give it back. That's posh. What happens, however, in the following case, Reuven got this property, and then he sold it. Not that he gave it to a creditor, not that he gave it to a Levi who he owed money to. Reuven then sold it to Levi, or Orso, or Reuven Nebuch passed away, and his son, Yehuda, yarshined it from Reuven, or V'yavo b'matana, or Reuven gave it to a present to Yehuda. So in any event, there now is a change of the property from Reuven to another person, but not because he paid off a creditor, because he either sold it to him, he yarshined it to him, or he gave it to him as a present. Now this person who got this didn't have any expectation of getting money. He got this property. So Vadai, in this situation as well, it's Pashut. Hani Meikara Adaite the Aranochus. This person who was either sold this property by Reuven or given to him as a present by Reuven, or it was Yarshin to him from Reuven. So that person expected to get this property. He never expected to get money. He wasn't entitled to get money. Tahadi Meikara Adaita the Aranochus. He got this land with the understanding that he's getting this land. The Lava Daita the Zuzinochus, and not that this would be exchanged for some money later on by somebody else, by Shimon, who now wants to get his property back. So in this situation, it's also partial that you don't have to give it back. The Shuma is not Hadar when Reuven sells it or Yarshins it or gives it to somebody else. Not as a creditor, but as a full outright sale or present. Now, Shamu lo le'isha v'insava. What happens if a woman is owed money and the guy can't pay her? So this Sarla is owed money by Shimon. Shimon can't pay her. So the Beis Din goes and takes Shimon's property and gives it to Sarla. At this point, she's a single lady. So Beis Din did this, Shamul Isha, but then the Insava, then she subsequently got married. Does her husband have to give this property back? He now has the rights of usufruction on this property. He gets the payers of this property. Shimon wants to buy this property back from the woman. So can the husband say, no, I'm like the guy that it was sold to, and therefore you don't have the right to get it back to me. In the previous case, we said Zabna, so then that person doesn't have to give it back to the original owner of the property. So is the husband able to say, no, we're not giving it back because I'm like Zabna. I'm like the person that bought it from the woman. Not that she still owns it. I have the rights to the payers, and therefore I'm a partial owner and I don't have to give it back. Similarly, in the case, Oshamu Minah de Isha, the woman was single and she owed money to somebody. So she owed money to Reuven and she can't pay him. So they take this property from her and give it to Reuven. And now the incident, then she subsequently gets married and then she dies, Umesa. So does her husband, who inherits her, have the right to say to Reuven, hey, I want to buy that property. You don't have the right to keep it because it was given over as payment for a loan. So you were only expecting money. So therefore, I am coming in the place of my wife. I'm, so to say, inheriting. I'm like an inheritor in this situation. And therefore, I'm going to want that property and I'll give you the money for it. But you don't have the right to say you want to keep it. So how do we pass him? So the Gemara says, Baal benifsi ishto, the husband in regards to the property of his wife, is like a lokeach havi, and therefore, lo mahadir. Therefore, he is considered like a purchaser, and he's like Zabna, and he doesn't have to give it back. So he can go and keep this property and say, sorry to Shimon, I'm not giving it back to you, even though you're giving me the money. However, lo madrinalei, but likewise, since he is considered a purchaser, so when the woman dies, he is considered a purchaser, but he's only considered a purchaser from right now. And therefore, the original person that they took the property from this woman and gave it to him, this Reuven in my case, where the woman owed Reuven money and they gave Reuven the property. So the husband is considered over here like he's a lokeach, but he's a later lokeach than Reuven. And therefore, Reuven gets to keep the property. Below Madinah, we don't give it to the husband, even though he's offering to give Reuven the money. Now, we see that this is true based upon the Amar of Yossi Bar Chanina. This is based upon what Rav Yossi Bar Chanina tells us, the famous Maisa B'usha. B'usha Eskino. Usha, that was one of the places where the Sanhedrin stayed. It actually stayed there twice. And in Usha, they made a famous Takana. So, Machlokes between Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And this is one of the cases we pass like Rish Lakish. Or Isha Shemachor B'nichsei Milog. Midah Raisa, the woman owns her Nichsei Milog. The husband just has the rights of usufruction. He has the rights to the payros, but he doesn't own the property. So therefore, she can technically sell the property. She can sell her husband's rights to the fruits of it. But if she sells the property, so then when she dies, this other person now owns the property, not her husband. So Isha Shemachor B'nichsei Milog, while her husband was alive, so the husband has the rights to the usufruction, but she has the rights to the property, and min hadin, this sale should go through. So they were masakin in Usha, and then she dies. The husband does have the right to go take it from the lekuchos, because the takana took place. So we see that he is considered a lokeach in this situation, and here he's a prior lokeach. He is considered a lokeach from the point of the onset of their marriage. And this person who she sold it to is a later lokeach, and therefore his buying it, so to say, takes priority. And we turn to Laman Hey on the days where we continue. Gemara says, Agbe Ihu Bechovo. What happens if the person himself who owed the money, he himself gave over the property without going to Beis Din? So Reuven lent Shimon money, and Shimon said, I can't pay you. Here, take this property. And Reuven says, fine. in this situation, when Shimon gets money, can he go and demand the property back from Reuven, and Reuven has to give it back to him, or not? What are the two sides over here? Why is this different when the Beis Din took it from him? So this is machlokas. Pliga ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina, they argue about this. We don't know which one said which. Chadamar hadra, the chadamar lo hadra. One says that Shimon has the right to go and pay cash and get his property back, and the other one said no. What's the svara? Man di amar lo hadra, the one who said that Reuven doesn't have to give back the property, Shimon gave it to him voluntarily. Savar hai zvine ma'ayi. Shimon didn't have to do this. He didn't have to go and do this. Reuven would have had to take him to Beis Din, and only Beis Din forces him. So then it's clear that he didn't want to give him the property. And as soon as he gets the money, he can give it back. He can get his property back. However, here, he voluntarily gave it to him. So maybe it's a valid full sale. The homie died to the Nafshayak Bey because he gave it to him fully on his own free will. And therefore, maybe in this situation, Shimon can't go buy it back from Reuven when he gets money. But the other opinion, either Rav Acha or Ravina, we don't know which one said it, he said, no, that Shimon in this situation can pay money and get it back is because Sabra loves Vita Miyayu, because it really wasn't a full sale. He didn't have a choice. He's an honest guy. He says, I owe you the money. I don't have money, so I'll give you my property, but I won't get my property back if I get the money. Behind the Agbe Midaite, because he gave it over willingly, that doesn't change anything around. Below us, Ladina, Machmaski Sufu de Gabe. The only reason he didn't want to go to the basis, he was embarrassed. He knew the basis was going to pass it against him, and the basis is going to go say, give over the property. That doesn't mean he's giving over the property as a final complete sale. He's basically saying, if it went to Beis Din, I'd give over the property, but I have a right to buy it back. So here, instead of wasting my time going to Beis Din, embarrassing myself, I'll just give over the property on my own, quote, free will, but I'm not really giving it over fully, and therefore I have the right to go get it back. Now the Gemara says, this person who was given over this field because the person couldn't pay back the money. Reuven lent Shimon money, Shimon can't pay him back, and the Beis Din gives him over this field of Shimon to Reuven. From what point in time does Reuven consider to be the owner of this field that he eats the peiros? So we have three opinions over here. First one is Rabba. Rabba Amar, Michi Macho Adrachto Liode. From the point in time where the Beis Din writes him the Shtar Adrachto, Rashi points out in Dibur Masal Drachta, Liacha Tishim Yom, Shinifsek Adin. This is after they pass him that Shimon, yes, you owe Reuven the money, and they wait 90 days to see if Shimon can come up with the money. As we learned, now here we have the Gears of Daminim of Perakama, like we learned in Daf Tezvav, in our Masechta, in the first Perak, in Perak Shnaim Ochazin, but in fact, on the side it says, no, it was a printer's error, it's not Beperakama, it's Bebavakama. And this was, in fact, Daf Kufya Beis. We had this not too long ago as well. The Beis Din Kosun Adrachta, this is a Shtar Psak Din. This is the Beis Din writing a seizure document, a Nirseloba, that you could go, Reuven could go and seize the property from Shimon. Shebekom Mokum Shibatim, wherever you find the property of his. Mishalo Yikachim, if it's his, you can go and take it, Umosilo Shtar. So Rabba says, the minute he gets his hands on the Shtar Adrachta, from that moment in time, any peros that are on the property that he ultimately seizes. Right now, he doesn't know the property. He has to figure out where the property is. So from this day in time, when he gets the Sarah Drachta, he's entitled to any peros that are on that property. Abaye Amar, Eidov, Bechasumov Zochelo. Abaye says, even an earlier period of time, Miyom Shenechtam Shar HaDrachta Beveis Din, Afa Pishlo Bol Yado. He says, from the moment the Shtar HaDrachta was drafted and the Edim signed off on it, the Edim acquire it for him, even though he doesn't yet have the Shtar HaDrachta in his possession. So from that moment in time, the peiros of that field already belong to Reuven. That's the second opinion. That's a bayi. The third opinion is Rava. Rava Omar, Miki Shlimu Yemei Achruzosa. It's only after they find the property, and then they have to go and make a public announcement to sell the property for the highest value. So they have to do public announcements. It's only at the completion of the public announcements. And then, if Reuven is the highest bidder for that property, so then, at that point in time, Reuven is considered the owner of it, and he keeps the peiros. But up until the point where the auction, so to say, is done on that property, so at that point in time, and only at that point in time, is Reuven entitled to the peiros. So this is the latest of the three opinions. Abaye is the earliest time, from the point that the Edim signed the Shtar HaDrachta. Rabba, it said, it's only when the Shtar HaDrachta gets actually into the hands of Reuven. And Rabba says it's only when he actually acquires the field through the auction, when they sell off this field that they finally found that Shimon had. So when he actually gets it, that's at the point in time when the peiros belong to him. Okay, we start the next Mishnah. Asocher Parah Mechadero. If Reuven rents a cow to Shimon, Shimon goes, Vishil Eliacher, and Shimon goes and lends it to Levi. So again, Reuven rented a cow to Shimon, and Shimon lent it to Levi. So Levi is a Shoel, Shimon is a Socher. They have different dinim in terms of Shmira. The Socher will paskin like Rabbi Yehuda again, who is Chayef of Gneva of Yaveda, but he's potter for onsin, as opposed to a shaul who's even chayev for onsin, is only potter for mesa machmas melacha. And now what happens? Umesa kedarka, in Levi's possession, the animal dies of a heart attack, not from working. It just dies. The animal just gets a heart attack, not from working. It mesa kedarka. It just one day has a heart attack. So, what's the bottom line? Yishava ha-socher shemesa kedarka. Shimon swears to Levi that it was an accident, it was onsin, and he's a renter, he's a socher, so he's potter for onsin, so he doesn't have to pay Reuven any money. He's potter. Va-shoel, but Levi, who borrowed this cow from Shimon, he's a shoel, it died kedarka, onsin, not nesa machmas melacha, it died through kedarka, through an ones, so Levi, paradoxically, has to go and pay Shimon. The bottom line is, Reuven, who owns the cow, gets nothing. Shimon, who rented it, gets the value of the cow from Levi, the shoel. Now, that's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Yossi says that seems to be tremendously unfair. I'm Rav Yossi. How is it possible that Shimon's basically doing business with Reuven's cow? And Shimon's the one that benefits over here from the death of the cow, and Reuven loses out. Rav Yossi says it doesn't make any sense. Ella, what should you do? Taksa par lubalas. The shoel, Levi, he has to go pay someone. It was his responsibility. He's chayef onsin. So he has to pay somebody. So instead of paying Shimon, go pay Ruve. Shimon's not losing out anything. He had nothing before him. He has nothing now. And Levi will pay Ruve because Ruve was the one that lost the cow. It was his cow that died. Okay. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Idi bar Ovin li Abayi. Rav Idi bar Ovin says to Abayi, Michte, let's check this out. Socher b'may koni laipara. How did the socher actually acquire the cow in this scenario? After all, if you're telling us the Tanakhama that the socher Shimon acquires the tashlumim, so he acquired the cow. What kinyan did he make to acquire the cow? It must be b'shvua at the time that he swears to Reuven that the animal died kedarka and its own sin and unpotter, and that's the point that he acquires the cow, and therefore the shoel has to pay him. Levi will have to pay him the value of the cow, because Levi is a shoel, and he's chayav for mesa kedarka. Why doesn't the Gemara say, the name of Levi maskir l'socher, so now let Reuven say to Shimon, I don't need your swearing. Dal ant v'dal shuasach. Go and take yourself out of the case over here. I don't want you involved. I don't want your shvua, and you're totally eliminated from this case. And I'll just deal directly with Levi. And Levi will have to pay me the money and not you, because you're never koneh this, because I'm not accepting your shvua. And I'll deal directly with the borrower. I'll deal, Reuven says, with Levi. And Shimon, you're out of the picture. You're not asking, I'm not asking you to pay me anything. You're out of the picture. I don't want your shvua. I don't want your money. So that's what the Gemara suggests. Rav Yidi bar Ravin says to Abayi. Abayi responds to him. Amalei says, "Mi sabe socha b'shvua hu dekukani le." You'd be right if it was the shvua that acquired it for Shimon, but it's not the shvua that acquires it for Shimon. Mishas miso hu dekani. The moment the animal dies, so Shimon is entitled to it because of the dinim that we said. He's potter for onsin, and the shoel Levi is chayiv for onsin. So the minute the animal dies, it's his, and therefore the shvua. Why do we make a shvua? Because the Baal HaBayis is going to be upset. He's going to say, how do I know the animal died kedarka and that it's own sin? So therefore, Shimon has to make a shvua to Reuven. But that's not how the transaction, so to say, occurs. The transaction that Shimon now owns it occurred the minute the animal died. So therefore, Rav Yidi bar Ravin's suggestion that Reuven can just tell Shimon to get out of the way, you're not involved anymore, is incorrect. Because Shimon owns it the minute the animal dies. Amar Zer says, look into the following somewhat unusual case. And Rashi has in detail going through the case, and he has Reuven and Shimon switched around from what I normally do, so I'll still keep it the way that I've been saying it. The Reuven is the one that lends the item or rents the item to Shimon. Rashi has it the exact opposite way. Amar Zer says, Pa'amu Shah Ba'alim, that Reuven, the owner of this cow, Mishalman Kama Paros Asocha, could end up actually having to pay the one he rented it to several times the value of the cow. What's the scenario? How do we come to that? Hechidami. So the Gemara says, Agra mine mea yomi. So again, Rashi is the exact opposite. I'm just saying it to keep our consistency for all the shiurim. Reuven goes and rents this cow to Shimon. Now, this rental is for 100 days. Vahadar shayli mine tishin yomi. Then, for whatever the reason, very strange case, Reuven, who owned the cow and rented the Shimon, said, listen, can I borrow it from you for the first 90 days of this rental? And Shimon says, yes. Again, why this is going on, that's not our interest. We're trying to learn and understand concepts over here and not getting worried about, could this case ever happen? Misama, such a case never happened. In any event, let's go over the facts again. Reuven rented his cow to Shimon. And then he goes and borrows it for 90 of the 100 days that he rented it to him. The first 90 days. And then, again, very strange, Hadar Agramine Tamnon Yome. Shimon then goes and re-rents it from Reuven for 80 of those 90 days that Reuven had borrowed it back from him. Now, Vahadar Shaila Mine Shivin Yomim, the same thing happens again. He, Reuven, then goes back to Shimon and says, can I go borrow it for 70 of those 80 days? The first 70 of those 80 days. And then the animal dies. Umesa betoki meisha yasa, it dies through onsen, not meisa machmas melacha, it dies through onsen. So Rashi points out, what difference does it make if Shimon had lent it to Levi, or Shimon lent it back to Reuven? The same dinim apply like we learned in the Mishnah, and the akol shelo shelo mechayiv chadapara. For each loan, there's a separate transaction, and therefore, Rezeva says, for every loan, Reuven, the owner of the cow, since he borrowed it from Shimon, is going to be chayiv. And Shimon, who rented the cow, is going to be pater. So for every loan, this occurred several times, he'll have to give him a separate cow. Plus, he'll have to also supply him a cow for the remainder of the rental period of time that Reuven actually rented it from him. So the last 10 days or 20 days, depending how many times it was borrowed and rented, so he'll have to give him an additional cow for that period of time, plus paying him for the amount of times that there was this borrowing, each time a separate cow. That is what Rav Zeira said. Rav Acha Redifti doesn't like this. Amalei Rav Acha Midifti Lervina. He says, let's check this out. Michte. Chod the pari, it's the same cow. I love Yafka. It was rented and then borrowed. Rented and then borrowed. Afka mischirus v'ayla l'sheila. Afka mischela v'ayla l'sheiros. Back and forth, it's the same cow. How could there be multiple payments over here? And I therefore say, all he has to do is give him one cow. He's a shoal. He has to pay for the value of the cow. And he'll have to give him another cow for the remainder of the rental. But other than that, it's just that he has to pay him, not multiple times. That's what Rav Acha Midifti said to Ravina about this case of Rav Zeira. Amalei, Ravina, however, tells Rav Acha Midifti back, you're right, if the cow was actually here, then it would be one cow, and everything you're saying is right. And he could say exactly like you said, but the cow ain't here. So we have to view this as a theoretical multiple rentals and borrowing, and therefore, Rav Zeira is right. The Gemara says, Mar Baravashi Amar Ein Lo Aleim Elushtei Paros. Mar Baravashi agrees with the Rav Acha Midifti and says, there's only two cows over here. The one that you have to pay as the shoal who Nebuch the cow died through onsen, and therefore you have to pay the value of the cow. And one is a cow that you have to give him for the remainder of the rental. Ein Lo Aleim Elushtei Paros. Chadu the Sheila v'chadu Schiras. Exactly like Rav Acha Midifti said. Shum Sheila Achasi. Because we consider it as one borrowing, Bishum Sriras Achasi, and one renting, even though it occurred multiple times. Bishel Lakoni Lagarme, because each time he borrowed it, that essentially removed the other borrowings from the deal. And the Sriras, Abad Boy, you may Srirusse, Umahad Lelamar. And then he only has one rental left, and that one rental, he has to give him the time that the rental belonged to him, minus the days that he borrowed it, that he has to go give him the second cow to use during that period of time. So Marba Ravashi seems to agree with Rav Acha Midifti that we view this as one cow only, and granted, he has to give him one cow in payment, and then he has to give him another cow for the remainder of the rental period of time. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says, and again, Rav Yirmiyah is famous throughout Shas for saying these types of statements or asking these types of questions. He says, Pamim Shishneim B'chatas, sometimes both the borrower and the lender, the Malva and the Lova, they're going to each have to make a shvua, and they're going to swear falsely. And when you swear falsely and you're not gaining anything monetarily, then you bring a chatas for swearing falsely. And sometimes we turn to Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. Pa'amim Shishneim Ba'ashim. There could be times that both of them are gaining financially from their swearing falsely. And in that situation, you have to bring an Asham Gizela. And sometimes, Pa'amim Shasolcher B'chatas V'ashol B'yashem. Sometimes the one who rents will have to bring a chatas, and the one who borrows will have to bring an asham, and sometimes vice versa. Pa'amim Shasolcher, the one who rents, will have to bring an asham B'yashem V'ashol B'chatas. Now, what are these four scenarios? So it says, Ha'ketzat. So first of all, we have to know the basic thing, which I've already mentioned. Kefiras Mamon Asham. If you make a shvua falsely, and you gained monetarily from it, so then you bring an asham Gezela. Now, if you just said a false shvua, with no financial gain. So that's called the shvuas bitoy. So bitoy svasayim, if you just made a full shvua, but you didn't financially gain from this full shvua, then you bring a chatos. Now, how do we have the cases where sometimes both of them bring a chatos, sometimes both bring an osham, sometimes one or the other brings the chatos, the other one brings an osham. So, pa'amim sheshneim b'chatos, the Gemara tells us, Yemi's case is when both of them have to bring a chatos. So that's, for example, our case in the Mishnah. If you go in Shemesa Kidarka, Reuven had rented the cow to Shimon, and Shimon then had lent it to Levi. So we have Shimon the Socher, and Levi is the Shoel, and the animal died naturally. And they both swore, V'amru Nensa. They both swore that it had been, as Rashi says, Nensa, Aide List Mizuyim. This is armed robbers, which is a case of Onsim. And Vinishbu Shekach Haya. This, both of them swore that this is what happened. So Rashi explains, Afopisha Shol Mishalim Onsim, even though the Shoel has to pay for Onsim. So he didn't gain anything by this false swearing. He's Chayav for List Mizuyim. And Mishalim Onsin, so nevertheless, Mashbim Soki Rav Huna, Shur She'en Obir Shuso. He has to swear that it's not in his possession. So that's why he swears that it's not in his possession. The Chayshid and Shemin Osin Einabah, because we're concerned that maybe he took a liking to it, and he's just saying that it's gone, but it really isn't. The Nishba Shenensa, and he swore falsely that in fact it was armed robbers that took it, Ve'en Obir Shuso. And the Socher, likewise, the Benkach who Benkach, he's Potter, Miftar, Mitashlumim, Koy Bechata. So he wouldn't have to pay. Anyway, because the animal, in either situation, he wouldn't be responsible for, whether it was listed Mizuyan, or, in fact, it was Mesa Kedarka. So the animal really was Mesa Kedarka, and they both swore falsely that it was listed Mizuyan. So, Benkach Ubenkach, the Socher wouldn't have to pay. So he didn't gain anything by swearing falsely. Why he did this, that's not our concern. He swore falsely, so he has to bring a chatos. And the Shoel, he would have to pay Benkach Ubenkach anyway, whether it was Onsen of Mesa Kedarka, or was Onsen of List Mizuyan, he'd pay anyway. As the Gemara says, Shoel, the Benkach Ubenkach, Chiyuvi Mechayev, Bechatos. So therefore, both of them bring a chatos, because they didn't gain anything by their false swearing. Again, they swore falsely that the animal had been stolen by List Mizuyan, when in fact died Kedarka. So this was Onsen no matter what. So the Socher, again, Mimon of Shoel, doesn't have to pay either way. And the Shoel has to pay either way. So therefore, both of them didn't gain anything, so therefore both of them were bringing a chatos for swearing falsely. The next scenario is Parmish Shnei Ba'ashim. They both would have to bring an Ashim Gezela for swearing falsely. Kigon, Shenigdava, the animal, in fact, was stolen. It was a regular case of Geneva for which everybody would be Chayiv. And they said, V'yabu Mesa Machmas Ulocha. And they both swore that the animal died while it was being worked at. In other words, the animal was dying in a normal way of usage, and therefore they both would be Potter if they're. In fact, scenario was Mesa Machlis Ulocha. So here they both gained financially from this. The Tavayu called Kafri Mamona. The Socher is claiming that it was Mesa Machlis Ulocha, and therefore he's Potter as well, when in fact it was stolen and he's Chayiv. So therefore he gained by this, so he has to bring an Asham. So to the Shoel, it really had been stolen, for which he would be Chayiv for. But he's claiming that in fact it was a scenario where it was stolen. But it really, he's saying it died Mesa Machlis Ulocha. So his swearing is gaining for him. So the Fayu Kokafri Mamona, they're both gaining for this. They really will be chayiv to pay. And the Kopatri Navshayiv. And they're making themselves potter with the Shua. And therefore, they both have to bring in Asham Gezela. Okay. Socher Bechatos, Vishol B'Yosham. What's the scenario of the renter? He has to bring a Chatos because he's not gaining by his false swearing. And the Shoel is gaining by the false swearing. And therefore, he has to bring an Asham. So this is, for example, Kigon Shemesa Kedarka. The animal died regularly, naturally, which would be Onsin. And the Socher would be Potter. And the Shoel would be Chayev. The Amru Mesa Machem Sulocha. And they both swear that it was Mesa Machem Sulocha. So again, Mimonoshach. The Socher, the Benkachu Benkach, Miftar Potter. Whether it died through Onsin or whether it died Mesa Machem Sulocha, he would be Potter from paying. So he didn't gain anything by swearing falsely. So again, why he swore falsely is not our concern. He swore falsely. And therefore, he, in fact, is going to have to bring a chatos for swearing falsely. But he didn't gain anything from it. He'd be potter anyway, so therefore he doesn't bring an osham. And again, the Shoel, the Socher, is the Benkach, Benkach, Miftar Potter, and therefore he's chayiv chatos. Whereas the Shoel, the Mechayiv, the Mesa Kedarka, he would be obligated to pay if he just died through Onsin. But he's swearing that it died Mesa Machlis Ulocha. Therefore, the Kapata Nashev Mesa Machlis Ulocha. So he's gaining financially. So therefore, he has to bring an Asham Gezela B'Yosham. And the last case is the Socher is bringing the Asham B'Yosham B'Shol B'Chatas. So here, what's the scenario? Kigon Shenigdava. The animal was in fact stolen. So the Socher is going to be Chayiv for Geneva, and the Shoel could be Chayiv for Geneva. But what did they swear? They swear of Amru Mesa Kedaka. They swear it died by onsen. It just died, not during work, but it died. So again, the socher who the mechayev b'gneiv aved, he would have been chayev, and now he's swearing falsely to gain. So he's going to have to bring an asher. The chopat and nashay b'mesa kedaka, so be asher. And the shoel, the benkach or benkach, whether it was a gneiva or whether it was mesa kedaka, so it's onsen, he's chayev no matter what. So therefore, he's not gaining anything by his shvua swearing falsely that it was mesa kedaka, and therefore. The benkach u'benkach chiyuvim mechayev, and therefore he has to bring a chatos. This is what Rav Yirmiyah said. Where it says, "What's the chiddush of Rav Yirmiyah?" This is all straightforward. Michael Mashulah, why is Rav Yirmiyah telling us all of this? Is it, you know, unusual cases, but what's the chiddush over here? So the Gemara says, "No, lafukim in the Rav Ami the Omar." This goes against what Rav Ami said. What did Rav Ami say? Rav Ami said, "Kol shvua shadayanim mashbin osa." If the dayanim, if the beis din made you make a shvua, then ein chayevim aleha mishum shvuas bitui. Then it's not something that you're going to have to bring a chatas for if you swore falsely. And this is based upon a pasuk shenemar, "O nefesh ki sishova levate bitzvasayim." So the pasuk is darshan ki sishova means me atzma, from his own intention, he goes and does this. Not the beis din force him to. So Rav Ami would say, in this scenario, you would actually be potter for making a chatas or bringing a chatas when beis din made you swear and you swore falsely. Oh, so the chiddush of Rav Yirmiyah is kamash ulan, the local Rav Ami, that he doesn't hold like Rav Ami. He says, even if the beis din made you make the shvua and you swore falsely and you didn't gain anything from it, you do have to go bring a chatas. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.